It's Saturday, June 25th, 2022, and there is no turning back, as this is No Turning Back with Shannon Young right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. For, in all honesty, this is the second intro that I've recorded for the show today. The first time, I got about 30 seconds into it, and you know how when you're on a computer and your computer gets updates, or you log into a computer for the first time in a while, and on the bottom right corner, it keeps popping up things, letting you know, little notifications. Well, it did that like 8 times in a row after I'd already logged into the computer and dealt with all the pop-ups from Facebook and email and stuff like that. I thought we're good to go. So I turned on old Audacity and I started recording. So I wanted to get the show on the road. It's a busy day for me. And as I'm talking, then Alienware decided to pop up their ad telling me it had updated something or other. I don't care. So I clicked off of it. I kept talking. Another one popped up. I don't care. I clicked it. I kept talking. And another one popped up. And another one popped up. And every time it pops up, by the way, it's not just that it's popping up. It's that it's popping up and making a little ding sound. So if you've ever listened to this show or any Podzilla show, excuse me, and you hear that little ding sound, that's what it is. It's because I've got updates or someone's messaging me on Facebook or something like that during the show. And I'm sure there's a way to turn it off, but I don't. I also just woke up and got moving not too long ago, so I'm congested and it's just a bad day. And I got so angry at the computer this morning, just now, when it was giving me those pop-ups. I started screaming at the computer. I started screaming at the updates and Alienware, like Alienware was a person, and I verbally assaulted Alienware, and I don't apologize for it because I'm not in a great mood. And there's part of me that thinks that maybe I shouldn't do this show. Maybe I shouldn't do this show because I'm not in a good mood about what's happening. But enough people have messaged me, including some good friends who I love dearly, and asked me, why haven't you done another one of these in a while? Like, you were supposed to do this every week. Why aren't you doing it? Well, you're right. I've been bad about it. Mostly, I mean, it's 2-part reason. One, because I am busy. I am much busier now than I've ever been in my life. And two is because I sometimes, let me just be honest with you. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. This has been not just an exhausting year, but since the day Donald Trump decided to run for president, I've been exhausted. I grew up in politics. Well, actually, I grew up in a trailer, to be fair. I grew up in a trailer in Mound City, Illinois. And while all of my friends were out playing or were watching cartoons or, you know, things to that nature, I was watching the Today Show. I was watching Meet the Press. I was watching stuff that dealt with the world, and I had a fascination with politics. I've said it before, and I'll probably go to jail for saying it on the show. When I was a child, long before I was of the legal age to vote, I would vote. What would happen is my mother, God rest her soul, would take me into the polling place and tell the person working that she, you know, her eyesight wasn't that great. So she needed me to go in and kind of read stuff off to her. I was like, you know, 12, 13, even younger. And they would buy that. And they would go in and I would go in and help her vote. And by help her vote, what that meant was I voted. Because my mom was not a political person. She liked who she liked and she didn't like who she didn't like. But she never really studied it. I studied politics even at a young age. So I've been involved with politics for a very, very long time. Back when I should have been a kid and had fun, I chose violence instead and I chose anger. And I've never seen politics as shameful and as disgusting as it is today, especially today. But not just politics. In the past 5, 6, 7 years, however long it's been now, since Donald Trump ran for president and won, it has been one thing after another, whether it was his presidency or COVID or, you know, Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement because of the unjust killing of African-Americans, school shootings, like whatever, man. Every day it's something. And it almost feels like the world is falling apart, or at least America is falling apart, and that we have lost our goddamn common sense. The common sense that tells you that black people shouldn't be murdered by police. The common sense that tells you that everyone should have rights, that gay people should be allowed to get married, that trans women are women, trans men are men, that, you know, common sense. Common sense like a woman's body belongs to her. And that brings us to yesterday. I won't tell you how old I am. It's old enough to know how awful things are, and yet to constantly be surprised by it. Because again, I've been in the politics game. I've been a journalist since college, even before college. Again, I studied things on my own before I ever did it professionally or, you know, for school. I cannot believe where we are today versus where we were, you know, 7-8 years ago. I still remember the day that I went into the Real Rock Studios down here on Broadway Street, where we used to record Podzilla before, you know, the pandemic. And I went in once to record Pro Wrestling Unscripted with my good friend Hunter Hendricks and one of our old co-hosts, Zach Price. And we were elated because they had just passed that gay people were allowed to get married. And we were so happy. And we actually brought it up at the beginning of the show. And even though it wasn't related to wrestling, really. And I felt like, man, we're really making progress. Look at America, finally starting to come into its own and be progressive. And then almost instantly, it's like the pushback on progression in America when Donald Trump took office, especially because, you know, there are always going to be conservatives who are so far right that they don't want gays to get married. They don't want, they probably don't want black people and white people to get married or any interracial couples. They don't want the things that, you know, just make common sense as human. But not all conservatives are like that. You know, some conservatives are a little bit more liberal than others, obviously. But when Donald Trump took office, and now you all of a sudden have this huge swelling of support of the people that used to say the quiet things, you know, they used to say the loud things loud and the quiet things quiet. Now they're saying the quiet things loud, and they feel like they have a platform and a supporter because Donald Trump has specifically gone on television and told these people that they're special and he loves them. And he was the president of the United States. He was also a cult of personality, a scam artist, a liar, and all kinds of things. So now you have this huge support for all of these terrible things that just knock progression back. And that's what they want, is they want to regress. They don't like this new America that is so different from the perfect America that they, you know, either lived through because they're old as fuck or had heard about because their old as fuck parents and grandparents told them about it. But, you know, that happy-go-lucky world that they're talking about was only happy-go-lucky for a certain kind of people. Do you know what people I'm talking about? I'm talking about usually white men. And this is coming from somebody, look, I notoriously, if you go back and listen to some of the early episodes of Podzilla, and please don't, by the way, please don't do that. But if you go back, there was an episode specifically where I railed against the idea of white privilege because I felt so insulted that that my success and my hard work felt like it was being diminished only because I was a white guy, and that's why I got so many opportunities. And it wasn't until I really started hanging out with some great people that became the core of Podzilla 1985 who taught me how ignorant I was. So this is coming from somebody who used to be, I mean, I've never been conservative or Republican, but someone that used to hate the idea of white privilege and didn't understand it and was ignorant. This is coming from that guy. That perfect world that they talk about was pretty much made for white people. Anything that goes against white people, and especially white men. And I'm, you know, hey, if you're offended by hearing this, then I mean, think about that. It was built for them. It wasn't built for women. Obviously, look at yesterday. It definitely wasn't built for minorities. And anything that goes against that to them isn't progression. It's dangerous and it's scary. So you had this giant, incredibly long con where Republicans, as the years went on and as presidents were elected, would inch closer and closer to being the one that turned back time and tried to take things back to where they used to be. But it was always so subtle. It was always so subtle. You know, there was hints of racism. There was an undertone of racism. There was an undertone of misogyny. And it wasn't until Donald Trump came along and, you know, blew the doors off the place. And instead of hinting about it, just flat out said Mexicans are awful people. Flat out said that, you know, foreign countries were shithole countries. I mean, this dude just came in. Someone said to, told me once they like Donald Trump because he doesn't filter. He just says what's on his mind. So does like 6 year olds. 6 year olds do that. Are you gonna elect a 6 year old president? I shouldn't say that because if they change the rules, you dumb fucks probably would elect a 6 year old, depending on his views on homosexuals. So they played this long con. And then Donald Trump came along and just escalated things quickly. And in some aspects, we're still fighting the good fight against the nonsense that he created. But there are some things that we cannot fight. There are some things that we have literally nothing we can do to stop it. And one of those things, the first of what I'm afraid will be many, happened yesterday when, again, unless you've been living under a rock, you don't know this. In a majority decision, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which provided federal protection for abortions for women and returned that power back to the state. They say back to the people. That was the big thing in this whole thing was we're returning, you know, Roe v. Wade overstepped its boundaries. It was never good. It went too far. We are returning the power of this decision to the people by giving it back to the states. The problem with that is like, and I'm going to be frank here. That's bullshit. That's not returning the power to the people. If it was returning the power to the people, then if you don't want an abortion, don't get one. If you do want an abortion, do get one. That's power to the people. The people that don't want abortions don't have to get them. You were never forced to get an abortion if you got pregnant. But now we are forcing women to carry the pregnancy if they don't want to. How is that power to the people? And it's not like we you know, a majority of these states are even going to get a say in it because the people in charge of their state, like they've already decided. There are trigger laws in so many states that once the doors opened, they ran straight through. And do you know who the first state to ban abortions in that state was? Take a wild fucking guess. Missouri, welcome home, baby. For the record, I'm from Illinois originally. I just want to say that. I've never been more open to telling people that I'm from Illinois than nowadays. Because as bad as Illinois is, and it's bad, I mean, in a lot of ways, Illinois is like a trash dump. Like, it's a trash dump that got set on fire when a bigger trash dump that was already on fire fell on top of it and pinned it to the ground. But it's better than Missouri, especially right now. You got Eric Greitens out there hunting rhinos. Have you seen that ad? No, we're not going to talk about that today. We'll save that for a different show. We'll save that for next Thursday, by the way. I'm trying to be focused today, and I'm trying so hard not to just yell and scream, because it would be very easy for me to just yell and scream about this because I'm so angry. Because what this did is this takes away a woman's right to decide what's right for her body. And I don't have to tell you about that. I don't have to tell you what this does, because I'm sure you've already read it. There's a million articles about it out there right now. You've probably seen lots of friends' posts on Facebook, and you've probably lost a lot of friends on Facebook if you spoke out about it. This is one of those topics, obviously. It's a hot topic. It's a controversial topic. So people are definitely canceling each other when someone's speaking up about it. I, of course, spoke up about it on my Facebook because I don't care. But my friends know me at this point. If you listen to this show, you know my views, or do you? We'll get to that in a second. But you know what I support. And you know, once this came out, I was going to open my mouth on Facebook and I don't care who gets offended. And I don't mean that in an edgelordy way of like, I say what's on my mind and I don't care. No, I feel like there are some things that are objectively right and objectively wrong. And this is one of those things. So I will absolutely speak out about these things. And if you disagree with it to the point that you feel like you have to silence me or delete me, block me or whatever, cool, man. That's on you. That's your decision. It's not going to stop me. I lost a lot of friends over Donald Trump. I lost a lot of friends over gay rights. I lost a lot of friends over Black Lives Matter. If I'm going to lose you over abortion too, fine. That's fine. What upsets me about this, and when I said a second ago, by the way, that you know my views, or do you, I'm going to tell you something that may blow your mind a little bit. most of my adult life, I have been anti-abortion. I always, in my head, I always thought to myself that in some cases, I don't know how to say this properly. I was anti-abortion because I do believe that, you know, an unborn child's life is important. I do. And in some cases, when careless people do careless things, I thought, well, the child shouldn't be punished for the careless acts of others. But obviously, my view has changed a lot over the past couple of years as I have met people and grown as a person. But regardless of that, even if I did still hold those same views of, well, I personally don't agree with abortion, the cool thing is I can't have a child, so it doesn't matter what my fucking opinion is. Even if I disagree with abortion, it wouldn't matter because I myself cannot birth a child. Therefore, I don't have a right to tell someone else what to do with their body. And even back then, at my most, you know, staunch, I don't agree with abortion, I still believed that. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, how is this not just common sense? If you can't have a child, then you shouldn't be able to tell someone else what to do with their body. How is that not just like a universal belief? It blows my mind. But here we are in 2022, and now they've made it harder than ever for women who are seeking an abortion to get one, and they're going to have to go out of state to the remaining states that will allow it, and who knows what happens in the future, because if you don't think that there isn't a red wave coming, then you are sorely mistaken. And I'm sorry to tell you that. I hate to burst your blue bubble, but it's definitely coming. Growing up in politics, I had always told people to get out and vote. This is something I've said my entire life. In fact, one of my first editorials when I was the editor of the college newspaper was about voting and how important it is and having your voice heard and deciding the fate of the country. And in the wake of this yesterday, when the Supreme Court decided this, the Supreme Court, who I don't know about you, but I didn't vote them in. None of us voted them in. And yet they have the power to do this. It feels really hard to tell people to get out and vote. Make your voice heard. Your voice matters. Does it? A majority of Americans didn't want this. And yet because a group of people, nine people, 6-4, 3 against, or somewhere in that neighborhood, three appointees by Donald Trump, by the way, who voted for it. And Donald Trump, who specifically said he was only going to vote in Supreme Court or nominate Supreme Court judges who would overturn Roe v. Wade, because Donald Trump appealed to whoever could vote him in and did nothing for nobody, but they still love him, golden god and shit. But these people that were voted in, or that weren't voted in by us, decided this for everybody. So how am I supposed to tell young people now, especially, get out there and vote. Make your voice heard. It's important. And yet at the same time, despite the fact that we're powerless to stop this, and that it feels like voting does absolutely nothing, if we don't go out and vote, it will be worse. This is what I was telling people yesterday when they came to me and they were angry about what happened, and I was angry too. And they were like, what's the point? I hate this country. I'm done. And I told them, like, you cannot be done. Like, I know it sucks and I know it's frustrating, but you cannot be done. Because if we stop even for a second fighting against this, if we stop voting, if we let them just do whatever they want, it will get worse. I know it doesn't feel like it can get worse, but it will absolutely get worse, because they can load up Congress. They can load up the presidency and the House. And then who knows what they would take away at that point? Because clearly at this point, Republicans and hardcore conservatives are no longer playing fair. They're no longer playing fair, and they're no longer playing with any kind of sympathy or tact. They are just going for the throat. So we have to stop them. We have to vote. You have to get out there and vote. It's the message that the Democrats are saying right now. They're, you know, Kamala Harris is out there saying, make your voice heard. Joe Biden said, make your voice heard. We have to stop this. And part of me wants to believe that this is a legitimate, you know, cry for help and a rallying cry for like-minded people and people with common fucking sense to get out there and vote and stop this nonsense, this monstrosity that the conservatives and the rights have built. But there's also part of me that very much believes that this is just a campaign slogan for Democrats. This is a campaign slogan for Democrats because Democrats have held power for 2 years now. Joe Biden is president. They have the House. They have the Senate. You have everything. And you've done nothing with it. You've done nothing. I mean, sure, maybe you've done some small things here and there. Every presidency does. But you've done nothing with that power. All the things that you said you could do, you didn't do. I didn't understand because even though I am an independent, I definitely lean liberal. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If you know me, you know me. And I always thought the liberal party, the Democratic Party, I should say, was the right way. They were the good guys, the Republicans were the bad guys. What I didn't understand growing up was that even if the Democrats, even if they're good guys, which at this point I'm really questioning whether it's even sincere or if they just are taking the opposite approach because, you know, they can't just copy the homework of the other guy. They got to create their own thing if they want to get in and get votes and be elected. But even if they are sincere, they're so ineffective. Democrats are so ineffective. The people that scream the loudest are the Republicans and the conservatives. And they're the ones that get the most attention, and they're the ones that get so much done because they are so cutthroat and crazy. And the Democrats who try to be peaceful and have reason, which I agree with, I like peace, I like reason, I understand where you're coming from, but it doesn't work. When you have people like Bernie Sanders, who had such a swelling of support and I don't know if he would have accomplished the things he said he wanted to, but he was kind of like the anti-Donald Trump. I mean, they were yin and yang. They were, you know, each kind of crazy in their own rights and saying these things. But, you know, Bernie Sanders lost the primary. He lost to Joe Biden, barely. We were all kind of surprised by it. And Biden, who I liked Biden a lot, and there's still, I mean, I still respect him and everything he's been through. But again, man, ineffective. Democrats have done nothing to stop all the bad things that have come. But they keep telling you to vote for them. And they say, get out there and vote and vote and vote and vote. Make your voice heard. You cannot allow these people to get into office because if you do, bad things will happen. And the sad thing is they're right. As ineffective as they are, they're right. If you're a Republican right now, or say if you're a conservative, a real conservative, and you're thinking about who to vote for, your choices are either the monsters next door to you or the ineffective idiots across the street. I'm not a fan of Barstool Sports in any way, and I don't even know the dude's name, but one of the guys from Barstool Sports put out a great video talking about how much he hates Biden and the Democratic Party, but he can't vote for Republicans because they're awful. You know, he's conservative, and he's got a lot of conservative fans. They're not happy with him, but he spoke truth. You can't vote for Republicans because they're awful. You have to vote for Democrats even though they're stupid and ineffective, and he's right. I'm tired of trying to give benefit of the doubt to the Democrats when they've done nothing. And then now look where we are. And it's not just where we are now, where women have lost the federal protection for abortions, but this opens up Clarence Thomas, by the way, the Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas, which I don't know if you've never heard of it, look up the name Anita Hill and just read about that. And then remember that Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court judge after you read that. Clarence Thomas, you know, basically warned that now that this is a thing, they're going to take a look at some of the other rulings that may have overreached. And now, you know, what's on the table? Gay marriage is on the table. Contraceptive rights. All of these things that, you know, we're taking rights away from people now. We're not giving new rights, which is what we should be doing. We're taking rights away. And it's scary to, and you might think, oh, well, that won't happen. They're not going to take gay marriage away. I mean, that's just silly. It is silly. But so is taking away abortion rights. And if you think for a second that they're not going to go after gay marriage, you're insane. Because this all boils down to that whole Christian country horseshit that they have preached for so long. So many of their views and their rulings come from a religious standpoint. And it's absolutely ridiculous because you say there is a separation of church and state, but not really when so many stupid people believe that this is a Christian country with Christian values, and because those people are stupid. They're very, very dumb people. I have so many friends who are gay or, you know, trans. I'm part of the LGBTQ community, and they're terrified right now. How awful is that, that they're terrified to be who they are? Because of people who think like Donald Trump, or at the very least want you to think that they think like Donald Trump, because that's how you get elected. That's how you take power, and that's how you keep power in their minds. No one should be afraid to be themselves unless they are hateful, ignorant, racist, misogynistic, you know, all of the bad things that we used to shame, that we used to talk down to and say, you shouldn't be like that. Well, now it's almost like there's a pride in being like that. And the people that just want to live their fucking lives are scared and terrified that they're next. This is the America we live in now, is people are scared that they're next. And how, if you're listening to this and you support that theory, you say that thinking, you support the thinking of, yeah, we'll go after gay marriage. Yeah, we'll go after this next. One, why are you listening to the show? Because you know I don't like you. And why do you think that way? Why do you want to take rights away from people, especially when it doesn't fucking affect you? Gay people getting married doesn't affect you. Someone coming out as trans and living their truth doesn't affect you. So what fucking right do you have to tell them that they're wrong and that you're going to take that away from them? And the absolute worst part, and the part that gets me to circle back to what I said earlier, is it feels like there's nothing we can do to stop it. If the Supreme Court, which is conservative heavy, decides that, you know, they find a way to explain it. Because even with the whole abortion thing, they said that this wasn't about, you know, this wasn't about abortion. This had nothing to do with abortion. This was not, they had no view on prenatal rights, which is a lie. This was about something else. It just happened to coincide with Roe v. Wade and overturning it. Well, you don't think that they're going to find a loophole to get rid of gay marriage or contraceptive rights? And there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it until one of the conservatives on the Supreme Court dies or retires. That's it. They've got to die or retire because they pretty much got a job for life. Which is absolutely, how fucking ridiculous is that? A lot of people are pissed at Ruth Bader Ginsburg because she died. It's just the truth. They're pissed at her because she died. She didn't retire. She didn't set up for a Democratic nominee to go in to follow her. And we're definitely paying for that. And they're pissed that she died. All of the love that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had and she was a BAMF and all that stuff is starting to go out the window because she held on to power for so long. And now it's cost us. I'm not going to touch on that because that it's whatever. Like, I get it. I get it. That's all I'll say. But that your anger should be at these conservative judges and people like Donald Trump and people that support that and the people that are out there dancing and singing and celebrating the end of rights. The end of the right of abortion. And next, probably, the end of gay marriage. Maybe homosexuality will be a crime. I mean, it's already a sin, right? Contraceptives will be a crime. Who knows where it will stop? And it seems ridiculous. It saying it out loud seems ridiculous. Like there's no possible way that this could happen, right? There's no possible way that this could happen. Well, I'm sure they said the same thing in Germany when Hitler, you know, rose to power. There was no way we're going to put people in camps and murder them. There's no way we're going to start a war. But they did. It takes very little for things to go completely wrong. It takes very little for the world to fall apart. All it takes is a spark and enough people. And Donald Trump was the spark. And even though the majority of this country disagrees with him, and even though the majority of this country disagrees with these policies that are going into effect and these rights being they disagree with these rights being taken away. In a case like this, it doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what you want because someone else has decided it for you. And if you can't understand why we're angry about that, and if you aren't a woman, if you aren't a woman and this doesn't affect you and you don't care, well, something's wrong with you too. You should be angry. You should be angry. And if you're a woman who supports this? What's wrong with you? You're happy that you've had your rights taken away? I don't get it. All I know is that I'm angry and I'm exhausted. I'm tired of talking about these things. I want to talk about happy things. I want life to be good and happy for everybody, not just myself, not just for a white dude. I want everyone to be happy and have equal rights. And I am just getting exhausted. But I will not stop. I will not stop talking. I will not stop fighting. I will not stop making my voice heard, as pointless as it seems sometimes to come on here and yell into a microphone, or to go out there and yell into the streets, or to yell at all the people that I see that talk to me about this, or to go out and vote for an ineffective party just because they're the lesser of two evils. I will continue to do it, and I hope that you will too. I could rant about this all fucking day, but I'm going to cut it off there. I want to thank you for listening. I know it seems bleak. I know it's hard right now. And I only know that because I sympathize. I cannot understand what a lot of you are feeling and going through right now. And I'm sorry. I wish I could. But I will do whatever I can to help. And if there is anything I can do, reach out to me. Let's talk. Even if you just need to vent, or if you need whatever, reach out to me. I love you guys. I do. I want you to know that from the bottom of my fucking heart. I do. We will be back next week with all new episodes. Hope to see you guys then. And keep fighting. Later.